John chapter 17. I want to read one verse, verse 24. There is ever so much I hope to tell you at a later time about the oneness for which the Lord Jesus prayed, but this morning there is one verse I want to bring to your attention, verse 24. You must understand that this entire chapter is a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught men to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," and now in John 17, he himself is praying to that Father. And in verse 24, he says, "Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are able to call thee this because of this one whose prayer we read this morning. We are thankful that the Lord Jesus came from heaven to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world from heaven to save sinners. The chief one has already been saved. We are thankful that Paul is now in heaven with you. And we are thankful that having saved him, you are able to save the rest. But our Father, thou hast told us much more about thy Son than this. Thou hast told us some of the intimate things that pertain to you and your Son before the world was. We've read of some of these this morning. We are thankful, our Father. We desire to know about them. There is so much we know about that is worthless, our God, and there is so much that we need to know. And about that we know nothing. And so help us this morning to know those things that can result in eternal life. This is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. And so this morning, our Father, may we learn of thee and of thy Son and have eternal life. Thou dost know that we are unworthy to speak the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. But thou hast promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do that. And thy Son has sent the Spirit to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And therefore we pray that he shall do that. And prepare our hearts and lips and give us a profitable, enjoyable time together this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I am so glad that the Father sent a messenger from heaven to teach us everything we need to know in the spiritual realm. I confess this, that if I had to pray, I would not know how to pray as I ought. But when the disciples went to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," the Savior said, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He was able to tell them just what to pray that was essential and what would be heard of the Father in heaven. He taught them that. But at the same time, while teaching them to pray, when he himself prays, we learn not only what he should pray, and his prayers are different from ours, because he has a capacity that we have not, and the Lord Jesus prays about things of which we know nothing. But at the same time, while praying to his Father, he reveals to us some mystery. He sheds light upon an area of the unseen about which man would know nothing. And the marvel is this. He does it so naturally, so spontaneously. And he does it that way because we discover that he has from the beginning been with his Father. And so he can speak to the Father of things of which we know nothing with absolute certainty, with ease, with abandon, because he is the Son and he is speaking to his Father. And in this chapter, he speaks and addresses the one to whom he prays as Father, and that is nothing unusual. Every time the Lord Jesus prays, he always prays to his Father as Father, or My Father, or Holy Father, or Righteous Father. Always, never does he fail to address his Father as anything but Father, save one time. And that is when Christ is on the cross of Calvary. Now, you and I every day say, Our Father which art in heaven. And the only reason that we are able to say Our Father is because on one occasion the Lord Jesus said, My God. You must remember that. You have no authority to address your supreme being, your creator, as anything other than My God, unless you have been brought into his family. And the only way that man can be brought into the family of God is when the Son of God addresses his Father as My God. And that is what he did on the cross. He prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And because the Lord Jesus, who was the Son of the Father for all eternity, was forsaken and cried unto his God and asked why he had forsaken him. Now, you who have no right to call upon him as Father, now are taught by Christ to pray our Father. The Lord Jesus has made it all possible, and the things that we take for granted are not to be taken for granted. They were accomplished by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is before he goes to the cross. This is before the shadow of death and his being made sin for a world of sinners has come to pass. And so the Lord Jesus, in perfect communion with his Father, beseeches him concerning something that has to do with himself and his disciples. Notice for whom he prays. He says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The Lord Jesus is speaking of a special class of people that have been given to him by the Father. Now let me ask you this. Is the Lord Jesus praying for you? You say, well, do I belong to the Father? Do I belong to the Son? Have I been given to the Son by the Father? And I will give you the answer. No one ever knows until after he has trusted Christ. There is no one who can go through the world and say, you and you and you and you have been given to the Son by the Father. It is impossible. But after one trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then he discovers that he is among those who have been given to the Son by the Father. And the Lord Jesus is praying for them. What you must understand is this, that no one is excluded. Because when the Lord Jesus prays exclusively, I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me out of the world, you say that is exclusive. The Savior also tells us in his word, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And if you will take the water of life freely, then the Lord Jesus will count you among those whom the Father has given him, and then the Lord Jesus will be praying for you. But you must understand that though the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, he died for you on the cross. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 17 is praying for a select group, and that group consists of all of those that the Father gave to the Son. And I say again, you cannot know that you belong to that group until you personally trust Christ as your Savior. And then you say, yes, I am among those whom the Father gave to the Son. No one knows before, but everyone, if they are informed Bible-believing Christians, know after God sends a special message. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He wants you to know it after you believe on the Son of God. Before it, only God knows. God can look over a city and say, I have many in this city. But until then, no one knows. And so the important thing for you to do today is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can say, the Lord Jesus not only taught me to pray, but the Lord Jesus also prayed for me. And that is what he is doing here. He is praying for those whom the Father has given him, and he is praying something special. He has prayed, and I've told Christians about it in previous weeks, he has prayed certain things for them, and this is what he's prayed. He's prayed, Father, I want you to keep them from sin, from evil, from the wicked one. And I want you to keep them physically, and I want you to keep them morally as long as they live in this world. And that's essential. And so after I trust Christ as Savior, the Lord Jesus has made intercession for me that I be led not into temptation, but delivered from evil, kept from the evil one. He prays that I may never perish. No one shall pluck me out of his hand. He prays for all of those things because those are my needs in this world. But there are needs not only that I have in this world, but there are also desires the Lord Jesus Christ has for me for the next world. And this has nothing to do with my needs in this world, but this is something personal, and it involves me because what Christ personally desires is something that pertains to me. Listen, this is what he says. He says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And so the Lord Jesus is making a request that while the Father keeps them as long as they are on earth, he says, Father, I'm coming back to heaven to join you where I was before I came to earth. But I do not want to stay there alone. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The Lord Jesus has requested of his Father not only things for me on earth, but he has requested things for me that pertain to heaven. And here is what I want to emphasize. The way that you and I talk about an engagement that we're going to have next week pertaining to business, the Lord Jesus speaks of life after death. He speaks of a place which none of us have ever visited. He speaks of it as certainly as you and I speak of an engagement we plan to keep tomorrow with another earthly human being. The Lord Jesus says concerning the future, he says, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I know where the Lord Jesus is going to be. He told the thief on the cross where he was going to be after he died. He told his disciples in John 14:2 where he was going to be. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Lord Jesus said, I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go unto the Father. There is no doubt the Lord Jesus knows where he's going when he leaves this world. And that is all important because that is what man considers uncertain. But the Lord Jesus speaks of it as an absolute certainty. He does not say, if there is life after death, if there is such a thing as resurrection of the body, oh God, if there is such a thing, if there might be such a thing, then may those who have followed me on earth, may I enjoy the bliss of that place, if it exists in the times to come. The Lord Jesus never speaks that way, because he is as absolutely certain of heaven as you and I are of earth. And just as sure as you and I are of dying if the Lord be not come, the Lord Jesus is as certain that there is life after death and that when he is crucified on the cross, he is going back to heaven to be with his Father eternally. And that is the way he prays. And that is the marvel. As you read this prayer, there breathes a familiarity, an intimacy, a certainty of things to come with which you and I have no acquaintance, but the Lord Jesus does. And so here, there is absolutely no question about it. He simply says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The Lord Jesus knows where he's going to be when he dies. He is crucified, dead, and buried. And the third day, he is raised from the dead. And he is to be seated at the right hand of the Father. The Lord Jesus knows that. And he says, there is something I want. I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am. These things are absolute certainties. But what is not certain is this, whether all of us are going to be there. That's what so said. You realize that the Lord Jesus has said that. The Lord Jesus has spoken about some who are not going to be there. He spoke to his own flesh and blood, because our Savior was a Jew. And he said to them, he said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And he said, and where I am, you cannot come. Will you remember that? We are Gentiles. God in his grace and mercy saved us. But he sent salvation through the Jews. Thank God for that. But he sent it to us. But the Lord Jesus said to those to whom he was sent, he came unto his own, and he said to them, he said, if you believe not that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah, you shall die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come. And so two things are certain, that if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall die in your sins, and you shall never be where the Lord Jesus Christ is. And another thing is just as certain, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shall die with your sins forgiven. And in that resurrection morn, bodily, you shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, in the Father's house. Those are the two certainties. The uncertain thing is this, whether you shall be among those who shall be in heaven or not in heaven. It is uncertain to us, but it need not be uncertain. The Lord Jesus said, Father, he said, you have given all authority unto me, that to all whom thou hast given me, whom you have given me, I should give eternal life. He said, and this is eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He said, Father, I gave them the word, thy word, and they believed it, and they received it, and now they're mine. The Lord Jesus has but one way to make worldlings God's children, to impart the knowledge of God and the forgiveness of sins to lost mankind, and that is through the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus said, I've told them about you, Father, that you are holy and sins must be forgiven. I've told them that I'm going to the cross to die for their sins. I've told them that, Father. And those whom I told that belong to me, they believed those words, they received them as truth, and they knew that everything I said to you has been true. And now, Father, I'm praying for them. The only thing uncertain is whether we belong to that particular class of people. That's the only thing that is uncertain. Everything else is certain. If you do, the Lord Jesus said, I want them to be with me where I am. And the thing that is as certain is this, that if you do not belong to him, you are not going to be with him where he is. And notice how he prays. They've changed it in some of the translations, and it's legitimate. It's perfectly in order for the Lord Jesus to say, I desire that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. But what is so startling is that the Lord Jesus never prayed the way he prayed in John 17 anywhere else except in this chapter. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But in this prayer, the Lord Jesus says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. It is his desire, it is Christ's will that certain people be with him where he is. He said, I will. Now, this is not an insistence of something that the Father does not want, that the Lord Jesus does want. at times, you and I get into deep trouble because we insist upon our own will. God tells us, it is not my will that you have this. It is not my will that this come to pass in your life. But you persist and you bombard God with requests. I must have this. I must have this. And the Bible says at times, God gives men their requests. And he sends leanness into their soul. He gives you what you want and he makes you a spiritual skeleton because you insist on having what he does not want you to have. The Lord Jesus has never prayed that way. At times, the reason that we insist on something that God does not want us to have is because we know he does not want us to have it and we want it so badly. That is why we insist on it and say, I will. It's just like Samson wanting that sinful woman. Samson said to his parents, he said, I want that woman. His parents said to him, why do you want that woman? She's a foreign woman. She's a strange woman. She will bring trouble into your life. Samson said, get her for me. She pleases me well. And so his parents did. And need I tell you about that woman and another woman who caused Samson to be blinded and blind as a beast of burden? You see, he insisted that his parents do this and that for him. And his parents gave him what he wanted. And it brought death to the man. But the Lord Jesus never prayed that way. The Lord Jesus says, Father, I will. And when he says, I will, it is because of this. The Savior has ascertained what his Father's will is. And the Lord Jesus knows what his will is. And since the two agree, the Lord Jesus does not have to say, Father, if thou be willing, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. He knows what the Father's will is, and he knows what his will is. And so he says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He knows that his Father wants them with him in heaven. He wants them in heaven, and the Son wants them in heaven. And therefore, the Lord Jesus can pray without any question concerning the matter. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Understand about the will of Christ. He never wanted his will to be done. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He always did the will of the Father who sent me, and he ascertained his Father's will. And concerning those whom he saved, he said, this is the will of my Father, that I give unto them eternal life, and they never perish, and my Father's will is that I raise them up at the last day. And he said, and not only the resurrection is my Father's will, but my Father's will also is that they be with me where I am in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus is not insisting upon something that his Father does not want, but the Lord Jesus' will is in complete agreement with his Father's will. His will and the Father's will are one. And the Lord Jesus says, this is what I will, and it's what the Father wills as well. I remember when that leper came to the Lord Jesus, and he said to him, he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And the Lord Jesus said, I will, be thou made whole. The Savior had it in his heart to heal the leper, but the leper did not know, being loathsome, if the Lord Jesus will to heal. But he said, if you will, you are able to heal me. And the Lord Jesus said, I will. He not only willed for him to be healed, he loved him as well. And not only that, but whenever the Lord Jesus spoke of what he willed, it was always what the Father wanted. And the Lord Jesus always knew what it was, but at the same time, the Lord Jesus knew just how far the authority given him by the Father went. Let me illustrate that, because it's most important. Now, there are some sons on earth who have such influence with their parents that they can ask their fathers or mothers for certain things, and even though the parents reluctantly grant those requests, they do grant them, request them, or do grant their request. The Lord Jesus never was that way. He knew just how far he could go in requesting things from men on earth. Let me tell you about it. In John chapter 10, The Savior said, I have power, I have authority to lay down my life. I have authority to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father. Understand? He said, until the time comes, no one on earth can take my life away from me, because the Father gave me authority to live as long as I choose. He said, and not only so, after I permit myself to be put to death, I have power to raise myself from the dead. He said, this commandment have I received from my Father. He knew what his Father's will was for him, but he knew the limitations. James and John on one occasion came to the Savior and they said, grant us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, you know not what you ask. He said, it is not mine to give, but my Father's in heaven. Do you see? The Lord Jesus knew what he could give and what he could not give. And though the Lord Jesus had John the disciple whom he loved, the Lord Jesus had no authority to say, I love you personally. You are my favorite. Sit at my right hand. The Lord Jesus said, it is not in my jurisdiction to give you that place at my right hand. You must understand this. Now, if it were whether Jesus personally loved all of you here, whether Jesus personally would ask the Father, take these sinners just as they are to heaven, that's one thing. But the Lord Jesus knows that he has no authority over the Father to ask him to admit an unrepentant sinner, a sinner who never believes, who has never been cleansed from sin. He has no power over his Father to have you admitted into heaven unless you trust Christ as your Savior. Now that's a startling thing. You say, all power is given to Jesus Christ in heaven on earth. I tell you this, Jesus has no power to admit one sinner into heaven unless that sinner believes in him as Savior. When he says, Father, you've given me these individuals, he said, and having given them to me, I gave them the word, I gave them the truth, and they received the truth. They believe that you sent me from heaven. He said, therefore, Father, admit them to heaven. I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ has no authority. No matter how much of a favorite you think you are of Christ, he has no authority to admit you into heaven, and the Father will not admit you into heaven unless you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Lord knows that. And that is why when the Father gives certain ones to the Son, the Lord Jesus immediately tells them the Scriptures. This is what he says. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But of whom does he speak? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. There must be that personal belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have not everlasting life. And so when the Lord Jesus says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, he knows that they have come to Christ as sinners. They have trusted him as Savior, and now they belong to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, these who are my sheep, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And so thank God, this is going to be accomplished, because the Father's will and the Son's will are the same, and the Father wants them in heaven, and the Son wants them in heaven, and therefore, they are going to be in heaven. And that is a marvel. Tell me truthfully, do you know of anyone that you want to spend eternity with? Don't you know those, even husbands and wives, that love each other so much? So often they irritate one another. You want to be separated from them. But the Lord Jesus is speaking about miserable sinners such as you and I on earth. And he says, Father, I want them, they believed on me now, they trusted me as Savior, having done that, I want them to be with me where I am. The Lord Jesus does not want to be in heaven alone, but the Lord Jesus says that he wants to be joined by a company of those who have looked on him and found someone who loves them and has saved them from their sins. That is who the Lord Jesus wants to be with him in heaven. Who are they? they are the ones who have received him as Savior. And the Lord Jesus says, I want them to be with me where I am. Now that is a marvel. He does not want me to be with him in heaven as I am now. The song that we sing, just as I am without one plea, I come to thee. Yes, that's the way you come to Christ. But Christ is not going to take anyone as he is by nature into heaven. The Lord Jesus is going to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's going to enable you to be born again, to be changed, to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And having done that, then he will take you to heaven. He's not going to take you to heaven the way you are. The presumption of people who think that they are worthy of themselves to go to heaven. There is only one, and that is Christ. The rest of us are unworthy. But the marvel is this, that somehow, knowing what I have been in the past and the tendencies that I have even today, that the Lord Jesus still says, I want them to be with me where I am. He wants sinners saved by the grace of God to be with him. But I tell you, he's not going to take you the way you are now. He's not going to take even Christians the way they are now. Because it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that when he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope set upon him purifies himself, even as he is pure. He has promised that when he comes back from heaven, I'm going to see him the way he is, and I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be like him bodily. I'm going to be like him morally. And then I'm not afraid to go to heaven. Thank God for that. The Lord Jesus said, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And that is the importance of heaven. Understand that. I do not want to be with you the way you are in heaven, and God knows you do not want to be with me forever the way I am. But if I am perfect conformed to the image of Christ, then I want to be with him, and I want to be with you, and the Lord Jesus wants us to be with him in heaven, not losing our individuality, but all of the sin, all that is a contradiction of your being created in the image and likeness of God is gone, and you with your personality perfectly made and conformed to the image of Christ, the Lord Jesus wants you in heaven with him and with his Father and with the holy angels. And this is something that is absolutely certain. He says, I want them to be with me where I am. And he says, why? He says, that they may behold my glory. Now, that's incidental to me. I tell you the truth. If I go to heaven and the Lord Jesus is as he was when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, I care nothing about that. I'm delighted to see him that way. If, as the Lord Jesus, wearied with his journey, he sat by the well of Samaria, if I see him that way, that's perfectly all right to me. If when the Lord Jesus was sleeping during the storm and he was in the ship, if I see the Lord Jesus asleep in heaven, that's perfectly all right. It is simply that I'm going to be with the Savior who died for my sins. That's the important thing. But he says, Father, I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory which thou hast given me. The Lord Jesus on earth was never seen in glory but for a moment on the Mount of Transfiguration. And his disciples forsook everything and followed a carpenter, a pauper who had nothing. He had not where to lay his head. They followed this pauper, and the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to give you the glories of heaven. He said, Father, they have followed me by faith, and I want them to be with me in heaven to see me in the glory that I told them about. I told them that I came down from heaven. I told them that I had glory with you before the world was, and I want them to be with me in heaven and see that glory. And that is certain. That's why Christ wants us there. The fact that I'm going to be there with him, praise God, that's enough. But he says, I want them to see my glory. And another thing. When I see him in his glory, I'm going to be in glory as well. Let me tell you something interesting that happened like this when I was in England. I was at Buckingham Palace wanting to see the glory of England, the Queen, her prince, Prince Philip. And I was standing outside Buckingham Palace at the changing of the guard, waiting, and I remember how I was dressed. I had on Adidas running shoes, and I had on a nondescript jacket. I had my lunch in a brown paper bag and a camera over one shoulder, and I was standing there on the outside, looking in, hoping to catch a glimpse of the Queen, but she wasn't there. I think I saw the Queen Mother chauffeured in a back door in a Rolls Royce, but some dignitary, some minor dignitary, came up in a carriage, and all the glory I saw was this band playing. I saw no queen. I saw no prince. But had they come out and spoken to me, then what would it have been? Something that I was alienated from. I was a pauper, a commoner on the outside. But I did see the queen in her glory, had I seen it. But that is not what is going to happen when I get to heaven. Because the Lord Jesus tells me that I am going to be glorified. He said, the glory which you've given me, I have given unto them. And I'm going to be in heaven. And I'm not going to be looking at any earthly queen that perhaps she shall come out and condescendingly wave to me and smile. That is an inferior glory of earth. But I'm going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in his glory. And I'm going to be glorified with him. And that is the important thing. He is going to be in glory, and I am going to be in glory, and I'm not going to be on the outside catching a glimpse, and then she goes back into the castle, and I'm left to go about my business in my ordinary garb. But the Lord Jesus has invited me to be with him in heaven forever to behold his glory, and I'm going to be there, and I am going to be in glory, and he is going to be in glory, and there is going to be love, and as it says in the Psalms, he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And it's the only place. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Well, the only thing that is certain is what man says is uncertain. We do not know about life after death. The Lord Jesus says that is absolutely certain. And the thing that man takes for being certain, oh, God loves us all and we're all going to get to heaven, that is uncertain. The Lord Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. But the thing is that both can be certainties because whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And the Lord Jesus would save all mankind. And so he has come from heaven to save you. Trust him as your Savior. And then in glory, in heaven, in time, you shall behold the King in his glory. Let us pray. Now, Father, thy Son has spoken such remarkable things concerning a world of lost sinners that anyone who is willing to trust that he died for them and rose again can be among the company that shall be with him in heaven to see him in his glory, to witness the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father, and then to see the one who loved them even unto death. Our Father, death has lost its sting now because we see what awaits us on the other side. We are thankful that heaven shall be filled with those who have been conformed to the image of Christ, and let us know that some of our loved ones are going to be there, those that we knew in the past and those that we never knew. But if they trusted Christ, he says, all that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me. We are thankful for that glorious place of reunion for those believers in Christ, and we look forward to seeing them. But the thing that enthralls us most, Father, is the hope of seeing Christ, seeing him, and he tells us, in his glory. And so by thy Spirit, work upon our hearts, and may all of us be those who are invited to be with Christ in heaven, in glory. In his name we pray. Amen.